6, 2011, Monroe City Council meeting. I'd like to call the meeting to order. First, before roll call and pledge of allegiance, we do have two newly elected council members joining us this evening. And so the first point of order this evening will be the oath of offices, and then we'll move on into the rest of the agenda. But I'm glad for the opportunity to be able to present these oaths. And first, we'll start with Chase McGamble. And if you would, raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Jason Gamble, do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution and laws of the United States.
I will support the Constitution and laws of the United States.
And the Constitution and laws of the State of Washington.
The Constitution and laws of the State of Washington.
And that I will faithfully and impartially. Perform and discharge the duties of the office. Of City of Monroe, Council Position Number 6. For the remainder of the term ending on December 31st.
The remainder of the term ending on December 31st, 2011.
According to the law, to the best of my ability. Congratulations.
I, Kevin Hanford,
do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States. And the Constitution and laws of the State of Washington. And that I will faithfully and impartially perform. And discharge the duties of the office of City of Monroe.
Council at large position.
For the remainder of the term ending on December 31st, 2011. According to the law, to the best of my ability. Congratulations, Lord. Very good, and welcome to you both. With that, I'll ask Edie at this time if you would roll call, please.
Councilperson Falk.
Present.
Gary.
Here.
Hanford.
Here.
Gamble.
Here.
Williams. Stima.
Here.
Cutterback.
Here.
Please let the record show that I did receive word from Councilmember Williams that an urgent matter had arisen and that he would not be here this evening. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, we are at the point in our agenda where citizens to speak to City Council on any issue except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. You're welcome to address Council on any other subject, and we would ask that you please limit your time to 5 minutes. I don't have anybody signed up, but I do know that we have a couple who would like to address Council tonight.
Fred?
I do have one signed up. Mr. Walser.
update you on what's going on with the US 2 bypass in Monroe, and that is our number one project. The US 2 coalition is lobbying for extensively with our legislature. And it is important that you understand how difficult this is becoming. But there is a light at the end of the tunnel if we work together, and believe me, there will be a light. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. I've been talking with Representative Mike Armstrong from Wenatchee, who is the ranking Republican member on the House Transportation Committee, also Chairman Judy Cliburn, who is the chair of the House Transportation Committee, and Senator Mary Margaret Calvin, who is the chair. And I'm not name dropping, I'm just telling you who I'm talking to. Senator Howden, who is chair of the Senate Transportation Committee. Back in September, the joint House-Senate Transportation Committee members came to Monroe, and we hosted a luncheon in which the mayor came, and certain members of the city attended, as well as mayors from other cities, Goldbar, Sullivan, and then representatives from Snohomish and city government. At this meeting, we presented the need for the Monroe bypass and why that is so important and so critical for safety reasons, for freight mobility reasons, and the ability to relieve traffic on the current US 2 given the development that is occurring in the North Kelsey area. Now, I got to tell you, the feedback that I have received from that meeting has been extremely positive. They were impressed that the mayors came to this meeting, number one. Number two, they were very impressed with the demonstrations that we set up along US 2. We had quite a few firefighters and EMTs and citizens stationed along US 2 with white crosses where people have been killed or seriously injured on this highway. Some of these legislators are new to their position. They weren't quite familiar with US 2, and I have been told they are very familiar with US 2 now. That's good. The second part of this is they also now are very cognizant of the need for a bypass. Representative Armstrong is working on a very unique plan to fund this bypass, and it is not toll roads. It is a public-private partnership, and that's where we are going to come in, because he specifically told me he's going to need help selling this proposal both to his caucus and to the legislature, given the economic conditions under which the state currently suffers. The nice thing about this is that the emphasis is going to be on transportation and infrastructure construction as a method of creating jobs and so forth in the state and helping to bring the state out of the economic morass we're in. To that end, we employ, this is the second part of my presentation, we employ lobbyists, professional lobbyists, who are very skilled in transportation issues, Jensen, Waldron, and Doty, firm in Olympia. We exist on public and private contributions. We being the US 2 Safety Coalition, have been soliciting funds from cities and private individuals and businesses now for the last about 8 years to help pay for our lobbying efforts, and it has borne fruit. I'm here today to ask the City of Monroe if you will contribute $3,500 into this fund. We need $6,000, which is pretty low. The lobbying rates that Jensen and Waldron are charging us are extremely low compared to other lobbying rates. For instance, this is the City of Snohomish has paid Strategies 360 to lobby for Highway 9. So we're getting a pretty good, quote, bang for the buck. We raised $3,000 so far last year. We're trying to make our goal. And so I'm here to ask the City of Monroe formally if you will contribute. We are doing the same thing that the City of Sullivan, City Gold Bar, up there to give them presentations also. So I would really appreciate, we would really appreciate your consideration in that regard. That's how we, and all of that money, for your information, goes to pay for the lobbying efforts. We don't keep a dime of it. And we don't even reimburse right at this juncture, I'll stop because I know I'm limited to about 3 minutes and probably talk for 10.
Well, Council, I think Chairman Walser is in previously and you can see he's painted a very good picture as to the benefits and the relationship, partnership that has been created here in the East Snohomish County. As he said, that the function that took place here at Mantiscano's a couple months back was a phenomenal function with more than a dozen representatives, maybe closer to two, but including staff members and so forth, who came to see the presentation and to get a firsthand understanding of the need that exists here today. I think it's a vital partnership. It's also going to be a very beneficial partnership for Monroe to work alongside and with U.S. Safety Coalition. And so on behalf of the Coalition itself, I'd also like to ask for your support in providing funding for the efforts in the market. Councilmember Pettit?
Thank you. Legal question. Are there any limitations or restrictions for the city donating to a private nonprofit in this manner?
The city generally has the legal authority to donate money to entities and causes that are an extension of the public interest. If there's legitimate public purpose underlying that donation, the city typically has the authority to do that. I can provide a more definitive opinion working with staff if you prefer.
I'm just curious.
We are, by the way, 501c4.
Councilor Smith.
Thank you. Greg, for being here and all your work and tireless efforts of many, the Safety 2 Coalition. What would be, let's say that you get the funding that you need, what would be a realistic, I realize you don't have a crystal ball, but what are you looking at the next 6 months to a year looking like if things go well?
From everything I've been able to glean so far from my conversations with representatives, US2 is one of their top three issues. So I have a very optimistic outlook that finally we are moving ahead. There's some acquisition issues on property that I talked to the mayor before the meeting that he is working on and the city is working on. That's a real plus for this whole movement. I've been out here for 42 years. Bypass has been on the planning books since 1964. It is finally moving ahead. So I'm very optimistic that within the next two sessions, this session and the next session, we will see full funding and a plan implemented. And that's what I'm after, is a concrete plan. And so is Representative Armstrong.
And to Mr. Walser's point with regards to the extension for the 522 piece, the city of Monroe owns a piece of property that currently lies in that right of way. It serves the city no purpose, and so staff has been directed to put together information to bring to council with the recommendation that we deed that property to the state for the purpose of the completion of that extension. It's just another way for us as a city entity to show that we are in the game and that we are committed to this partnership that the US2 Safety Coalition has been spearheading.
As a legal matter, what fund are we allowed to take it from? Any particular fund would have to be general fund. I guess I'm asking our attorney. Would it have to come from, could it come from our utilities and parks since everything would benefit, or does it need to come from just the general fund?
It would be difficult for me to see how it could come from a restricted fund. I believe that your likely source of funding for that would be the general fund, but again, I have to look at that as more in depth with staff.
Okay.
And we'll do that before.
I mean, I'd like to see it that we, you know, we see it before the new year if we could.
Chairman Walser, thank you very much. I don't have anybody else signed up at this time, but if you would, your name and address, please.
I'm pulling you out there already. Joel Phillips, 505 Second Drive. Just for the record, I would like to say congratulations.
Anybody else this evening? Okay. Thank you. Council, we do have the need for an immediate executive session for potential litigation, and city attorney has the RCW for that. I'll ask you to cite that for us at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Pursuant to RCW 4230.110.1I, council will convene an executive session for the purpose of discussing legal risks with legal counsel. Executive session is anticipated to last 15 minutes, after which the council will reconvene and take action in open session.
Thank you. With that said, we will go into executive session.
Motion to approve ordinance number 032-2011, an ordinance of the City of Monroe, Washington, imposing a 6-month moratorium on the establishment of medical cannabis collective gardens, adopting preliminary findings in support thereof, setting the date for a public hearing on the moratorium, providing for severability, declaring an emergency, and establishing an immediate effective date with the public hearing date to be set by the city.
All right, motion's been made as read by Councilor Gearing, seconded. Councilmember Pettibat. City Attorney, that was the official reading of the title. You need to reread the official, or we'll waive that portion then. Any other comments?
I would just supplement that motion to formally add this to the agenda.
Okay.
To be formally added to the agenda at the date set by the city clerk.
That's right now.
Oh, I'm sorry, right now.
Motion is to add to the agenda.
To also add
this to ordinance.
There we go. As first and final.
Yes, I will need a public hearing. I was hoping that the public hearing would be held in January. And I realize that we need to set a date, and we cannot prepare to set an exact date, but I just would like to make that known to the public.
Okay. Very good point. The expectation is public hearing in January. And the city clerk will set that date here, possibly the end of the season. Okay. Any other questions or comments? All right, so we will take a vote on the motion then. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chief, you've got the official sign. Council, in your respective Jane's time here, we've got an executive session scheduled for later. But I'd like to ask that we move that to now for the purpose of minimum price for which property will be sold and allow for a report by Jane so that we can get her home early tonight. That's okay with council. We will do that. The expectation will be for Jane.
I'll talk fast.
23
minutes. 30
minutes. Okay. And the RCW for that, City Attorney Lowell, is?
Yes, RCW 4231101C, to consider the minimum price at which real estate will be offered for sale or lease when public knowledge regarding such consideration would cause the likelihood of decreased price. Executive session was for 30 minutes, and the council is expected to take some action in open session.
All right, Councilor Steiner.
I was just wondering, with staff, if it would be okay if we, unless there's any objection, to the consent agenda.
We're going to
post stuff. Okay, then never mind. If it wasn't going to be pulled, then I was just going to.
Okay. All right, then we are in executive. executive session for 30 minutes. Okay, we are back in regular session. Thank you very much. And we have a request from Councilmember Cutback to pull item number 3, consent agenda. Councilmember Gary.
Motion to approve consent agenda items 2, 4, and 5.
1, 2, 4, 4, and 5?
Just 2, 4, and 5.
Oh, my bad, yeah.
So I'd be looking for a second on that motion.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion to approve consent agenda items 2, 4, and 5. For the new members of the council, when the motion is made for consent agenda, we're simply going to go straight into a vote. If there's anything that you'd like to see pulled from the consent agenda for discussion, you can do that. I should have said that before the motion was made, but at this point, the motion is made for 2, 4, and 5. So all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Councilmember Cutback.
Thank you. I'm just trying to still get some clarity on the budget amendments for year end for 2011 around the waste contract. So I requested information last Tuesday from the city. Just received it yesterday, so I'd like to delay approving this until next week.
Okay. Also, just so that you know, there was an urgent matter that Diane had to attend to, and so she's not here tonight to answer any questions about that. City Administrator Brazel is here, and myself, and Brett Bowler is sick, and so he's not here this evening either, so take that into consideration also. We can... Okay, so the suggestion is that we move this ordinance in the 2011 budget to second and final reading until next week. And now it's up to council to have discussion as to whether or not you want that, or somebody can make a motion to go ahead and approve tonight.
I'll second Councilmember Cutback's motion.
Was it a motion, Councilmember?
Sorry,
yes,
there was a suggestion.
I can make a motion to move this to the agenda for next week.
We'll second it.
Okay, so motion has been made to move the ordinance amending 2011 budget, the second and final reading, to next week, December 13th meeting. That was made by Councilmember Cutback, seconded by Councilmember Steinman. Councilmember Geary?
Thank you. If I could just ask you a clarifying question, what are you hoping to? I had time to go through my. I got an email today.
Right.
Information. What are you hoping to get that we don't have now?
I
wouldn't just.
I'm trying to get clarity on how that was missed out of the budget. I've gotten kind of conflicting answers from staff. I wanted to look more in detail into the contract and see if that $100,000 was listed anywhere, which I didn't see. When I questioned staff a couple weeks ago about this amendment, it was said it was known about during the negotiations, but wasn't put anywhere. That's concerning to me. So I've asked for some information. I want to look through the contract in more detail. This is the type of, in my opinion, whether it's a budgeting kind of mistake or didn't know about it, that's something I think we should be aware of, and maybe the right questions weren't asked. I'm still trying to figure that out. So if this is simply a budget mishap or wasn't budgeted, that's something we want to make sure that we have procedures and processes in place so that it doesn't happen again. That's not a surprise. If it was something that wasn't listed in the contract but we knew about it, that's concerning also. So I need another week, and I think for new council members coming on right now, it's fair to do that.
I appreciate that. And I'm not opposed to, as long as there's not a
time issue. I guess we probably have till the end of the year, and Diane's not here, she's not here, to take care of the, to get it done. I will say, though, that I'm, I don't think it's appropriate to throw staff under the bus on something like this. What I saw in the paper, I think is unfortunate, and so that somehow this was purposely withheld, I think is also an inappropriate statement to make. I'll go ahead and support having this on in the next week, and it sounds like there's already support for that anyway, but I think those are unfortunate and unnecessary comments in the public. Thank you.
I think that it should be understood that that this was a situation where staff was making estimates to their best to their best ability, and the amendment is as a result of underestimating what the cost would be and nothing more. As to your other question or other statement that it may be something else, I'm not sure where you're going with that, so I think that greater clarity might be necessary from you to understand so that we can, staff and myself, can answer those questions directly at this point, and in response to what was reported, I use that in quotations, I think the only thing that's been done is raise some, I'd say, some ugly accusations and create some innuendos with regards to staff on how this process was done. And I think on behalf, I think that it was inappropriate to do it in such a manner, but we're here to answer his questions, but we'd appreciate knowing exactly what his questions are.
When I asked during the council meeting a couple weeks ago and said, this is a surprise, $100,000, when did we know about this? And the response was, we knew about it in negotiations, that's on public record. That is concerning to me. And again, whether it's a lack of writing it into the budget, the response that we didn't know how much it was, so we didn't write anything, I think sends, it's a problem in budgeting. Because if we knew that that was going to be an expense, you could ask any vendor to say, what's an estimate of our garbage for the city? They could give you a number that then can be relayed to council or put into the budget. I don't remember that even being discussed, that we were going to have, and please, you know, chime in, other members who are here. I don't remember it being discussed that we were possibly going to have a large expense that we're currently not paying in this garbage contract.
You don't remember the discussion during the contract discussions or the budget discussions?
During the contract discussions when we were negotiating this contract. When I asked staff when they knew about this issue, they said it was during negotiations of the contract. So I'm not throwing anybody under the bus. I'm simply asking questions. And that's my role up here, is to ask questions. When I see a glaring kind of gap such as that, my job is to ask questions. It's not to throw anybody under the bus. It's not to do that. I don't know if it's a budget mishap, just saying, well, we forgot about it, or we didn't know the expense, or if they knew about it, but it wasn't listed as an expense in the contract. I'm not making insinuations about some conspiracy. What I am simply saying, I think it's an issue when we miss $100,000 that we knew was an expense during the negotiations, but somehow wasn't mentioned in any other form during our negotiations or mentioned in the budget itself.
Your memory of the discussions on the negotiation discussions is better than mine. Although I'm how it's relevant is that you are making definitive statements with regards to discussions that took place over a year and a half ago, and you have insinuated that staff has done something, or at least the papers have reported that way. We're glad to answer those questions. I think that that in the 2011 budget we showed that fund designation line item was created for these expenses. We did not have a baseline to understand or guesstimate what those would be in total, and as a result, we guesstimated or estimated lighter than what it was, and so forth. So we are bringing the budget amendment to you for approval. It's nothing unusual. It happens. This is a large amount, I understand. Next year we have nearly three times that in our 2012 proposed budget for the expenses. So if there are, again, from what I hear is that you want to understand where in the budget, or excuse me, in the discussions this was discussed or brought up. I don't have that. We haven't listened. I haven't listened to all the tapes. The minutes don't indicate that. But our understanding of the proposals were that this was something that the city was going to have to pay for as a result of the RFP's process.
Well, then my concern is if we knew this was something that was going to have to be paid for, and did nothing as a placeholder to estimate how much that would be. That's concerning to me.
We did have a placeholder, $40,000.
Okay. And so I didn't see that in there, and that wasn't relayed to me that there was even a placeholder.
Yeah.
I was told was it was not budgeted for because we didn't know how much it would be. And then when I had a phone call, conversation with a staff person, a week after that meeting, it said, we missed it. We had staff coming on, nobody caught it, and it wasn't in there.
Yeah, we spent a great deal of time today to try to find the information in anticipation of the questions tonight. They will find a placeholder these funds were put into. It was $40,000. As Diane mentioned, it was significantly less than what the actual expenditures were. We had no baseline for what those expenditures were because part of the prior agreement with the prior company, those costs were included as part of the rates. And so the city did not pay directly. That was a franchise agreement. We do not have a franchise agreement with Allied Waste. Nor did we have the opportunity for a franchise agreement with any of the proposed companies that submitted an RFP. And so, it is a unfortunate thing that we were unable to guesstimate more closely to what the actual expenses were. That Waste Management had provided no information at that time to what our usages were for us to be able to calculate that. And so that's where we're at. But again, if there's more specific questions and so forth, we're glad to get that information to you and have more discussion next week. Councilmember Gamble?
Yeah, you actually answered that. Point of clarification was for me because I was at that meeting in the audience. So we did have an estimated budget amount because that was not communicated then.
Yeah.
And it was $40,000.
It was.
So the price then is $140,000?
It is. I don't have the total exactly, Diane.
Because if we're off by $100,000, then it would be $140,000, right?
Yeah.
And budgeted $40,000. We're asking for an amendment of 100, so it's 100.
And the prior agreement that we had with Waste Management was that it was provided at a free service, but we know that that free service was built into the costs or into the price service. So so as a result of their unwillingness to move forward with an extension, council also felt that they could get a better deal than 25% by going out to RFP. So an RFP was submitted, and that process as to how the current provider was chosen was sent to all the council members, showing the criteria that council used and the how well the applicants for the submitters met those prerequisites that the council had established prior to that. And I'm not sure, did you get that? That was would have shown the three columns with, at the time, it was Diane, City Administrator Frazzle, and Brad Albert were the three individuals who did the
matrix.
That's it. I just say I'm going to support so we find, because I just wanted something right here, so I think it would be in our best interest. And that if there's any learnings that we can, because if it's a budget, you know, issue, I mean, this, you know, we miss something, then it, you know, what can we put in place to make sure it doesn't happen again? Because we're right in the middle of budget season right now.
Yeah.
So we can use it as a learning experience and move on.
Yeah. And I wasn't here 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago when it was discussed, and so I wasn't aware of the specifics of the conversation at that time or the questions at that time. But just in the review that we've done, it is apparent that we underestimated what those costs would be to the city, not knowing what our volumes were at that time.
Right. And I guess for me personally, my first one, knowing the poll and all that kind of stuff, and we approved an item in the consent agenda, the consent agenda item number 3, it has an estimated budget rate of $1,000. Our confident rate is $1,000. I guess, you know, what's the process that we're doing? You know, so I guess maybe we need to learn from doing a root cause.
Yeah. Again, this is the first year that we've had to pay for these services. And how long did we have the contract with Waste Management?
7.
Yeah. It's always been part of the franchise agreement. But we're not in a franchise agreement today. We're in strictly service contract.
I understood. But as far as estimating budget items, we're in the business of that every year, I'm sure.
That's based on information that we have.
Sure.
In terms of volumes, we do not have that information. To my understanding, we do not have that information. Waste Management did not provide it. That could be, you know, we could find that they did. As of right now, we don't know that we have that information when estimating what volumes were for the city.
And then, so just on clarity, what it is, $140,000. It's not $100,000 because we budgeted
total
of $140,000. Thanks.
For 2012, we have
150
of that, I believe, is for garbage or one year and a half. Right. Councilmember Stein?
Thank you. Some of the things that I've had clarified for me in the last 2-3 weeks since the initial presentation, it was my perception that we were the ones that had informed them as to the fact that we couldn't do the franchise anymore. Since then, I've found out that it was different than that, that each one of the RFPs had that, and that each one of them was going to go forward, that we would have to include it no matter which RFP we took, whether it was the Alley Waste or the Waste Management or the other Bronco or whatever it was. So each one of those would have included that. So it was going to be tacked on.
Let's clarify for me, included what? The cost to the
right,
state, yes.
Right. Okay, all three of them, no matter which proposal we took, it was all going to be an add-on, no matter which one we did. So that was a clarification. I thought we were the ones, the way it was presented initially, we were the ones that informed them, and then it ended up costing us more. So that was how I perceived it at that time. So that's been clarified for me. Number two, it's been clarified, is that we do now have had a placeholder of $40,000. The way it was communicated 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had no placeholder. And it was just like, well, we didn't know how much it was going to be, so we didn't put it in the budget. That's what was communicated that evening. So that's why you can understand why there was some concern that there hadn't been any placeholder to put it in there. Number three, I would say, I know staff does the best they can, and these new numbers, there's no way to know. I mean, there's no baseline, there's nothing to come up. come up with. So on staff's defense, how are you really supposed to know if you've never been through the process? So I'm not in any way. I think part of my concern was, did we as a council collectively miss something that we should have seen? That was part of my concern also. Not staff, but did we not ask for the right information, or did we miss something as a council in that contract that we need to be aware of as we move forward in other contracts so that we don't miss these things? That was a concern of mine, because ultimately it's us to take the vote. Now, you can't blame staff. I mean, we're the ones that take the vote. We're the ones that are responsible for how the money of the city is spent. So that was part of my concern, is that, you know, how did we try to be diligent while we do? How did we miss this? That was my concern. So those are my perceptions and where I'm at. So I don't think anybody did anything purposely or in any way. You know, it's an impossible number to predict, and unfortunately, it happened to be 2.5 times as much as we thought. Thanks.
That's the administrator.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I apologize to council for the confusion last week. We had a lot of changeover, people performing different duties. This may help you recall the conversation. It was when staff brought council the criteria for the RFP that we mentioned garbage collection for the city, so city buildings would not be included because it operates as a utility. Just like water, sewer, for all the city buildings, we have to pay those charges just like the garbage. The reason we estimated low is, again, we had nothing to base that off of. We never had paid in the past for garbage collection. And garbage collection just isn't the city buildings. It's all the street waste. It's lawn clippings from all the parks. All of that stuff gets disposed of, which you've never paid for in the past. Another factor that was brought into the high cost this year is, if you remember, the stormwater NPDES permit that we have to be compliant with, which means clean all the catch basins that are owned by the city of Grill and culverts. That is being done. Provides waste that had to be hauled out. That's why the amendments before this evening, there was no way to estimate all of those factors. Now that we have a year under our belt, you see in the 2012 budget that we've set aside $150,000 for this item next year.
Okay. We'll talk more about it, and I think what we were expecting to do by then. Is staff, now Gene, are you clear on what additional questions we need to have answered for Councilmember Kondrat?
I am, and if any other questions come up, just please email me and I'll respond to all the council members. Everybody has the same information.
Okay. Yes.
Do we need to vote on the motion?
We do. We do have a motion. So all those in favor of the motion moving this to next week for second and final reading, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
as I've said the last couple of meetings, I believe it is inappropriate to use unassigned funds, unallocated funds to pay for positions. It's not fiscally responsible. I'll support the first reading tonight, since we'll have future discussions, and we'll continue to bring that up until a more creative solution is found. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Between now and then, get specific or get that information specific. We'll take a vote on the motion then. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, ordinance adopting term limits, first reading. Councilmember Gearing?
Thank you. We just have the largest public hearing that you can have, which is a city vote. City voters approved this by more than 3-1. I think it's just a first reading this evening, so I'm going to make a motion to approve this first reading. Term limits for City of Monroe for public officials.
Second. All right. We have a motion by Councilmember Gearing to approve ordinance adopting term limits as a first reading, seconded by Councilmember Steinle. Any other comments or questions with regards? Councilmember Ball.
Yes. Some people who support a term limits thought the AE is waiting queue was in excess. And so I'll make a motion to amend section 2.26.020, section D, and section should be section 2.26.030D, one deals with city council, the other the mayor, that change it to 8 years to 2 years.
Second.
Okay, a motion has been made to amend as suggested by Councilmember Ball, seconded by Councilmember Petteback. That's changed years from
8 to 2, and that is how long you need to wait before you can seek sign up for another election.
So
in the section for term limits for mayor, it's listed as 2.26020030, but when you go into the body of the ordinance, it's has listed it as 0.020. So just want to make sure I don't have any confusion. So you.
Councilmember Gaines?
Thank you. That is not, I would be voting against that hostile motion. It is not what the voters approved. The voters clearly approved what was in the ballot, which was 8 years. Eight-year break. Again, it's not even true term limits because you can come back. So, again, I will be voting against the hostile motion and to leave the motion just as it is. Thank you.
Councilmember Gaines? The item that was on the ballot had a lot of stuff on it. I think the voters sent a clear message term limits. I would have to agree with Councilmember Bach because I've gotten feedback on this as well. 8 years does not seem correct. So I will be in support of the friendly amendment to a term limit.
It's actually a motion to amend.
Thank
you. Can I ask where the 8 years out came from? What did you base kind of that term on?
It just kind of came out of the discussions that we had back in May.
Okay.
When we first started. That's came out of those discussions.
Okay. I thought it originated from you coming up with 8 years as the term and then 8 years off.
That was all banter. I think we talked about three times in May, two or three times in May. We had a public hearing on the middle Tuesday in May, I think it was the public hearing.
Councilman Locke, do you remember kind of where the 8 years, what is it based on? Does anyone remember?
That was in the original proposal of, that did not come out of the public hearing, that was in the original proposal of the ordinance, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And I think that was the language that Councilman Gary proposed. So see how it came up.
I'm trying to get a sense of why 8 years, where does it come from? what's the rationale between that length of time?
Well, I think she's asking the question directly.
Yeah, no, and maybe if Councilman Steimer remembers, I'm just curious. I'm asking the question.
I believe that, if I remember correctly, and again, this is back when Mary Lott's emphasis was made, I think that the intent was, or the discussion, is that if after 8 years that you've served, in order to have fresh blood and new blood into a process, that in 8 year time frame was sufficient to allow, if you will, the balance of power, however you want, influence, to shift, so that someone who was on 2 years ago wouldn't be back on right away again. I think it was the idea of allowing more people to serve, but after someone, I guess the time had to be picked, but eight seemed to be, after they've been off for two terms, then they would have another option in which time to serve, just because there would have been enough time of enough people's different opinions out there that there wouldn't be any undue influence of one particular person too long. That I'm just saying that I think that was the line of thinking with something like that, and that and in order to allow many people in the process, that was the thought process.
I can appreciate that. I remember looking at the data and looking at kind of the turnover rate for the city and it being extremely high as far as new blood coming in. I think I remember three council members over a long, long period of time, Councilman Ball, the 12, 13 years, maybe a couple others where there was long term, but the turnover rate was actually really high, and there wasn't a period where you had stagnant council members for these big blocks.
And I also think that one of the original proposals, if I remember correctly, or maybe it was just in the discussion, was that after you had served your 8 years, you were done, that you could never run again, was the idea of the term. I'm just saying in the original thought process, but then we're like, you know, somebody needs to have a chance if they have, you know, recharged their battery, gotten more ideas, things like that. The city grows and moves so much in an 8 year period of time that they shouldn't be prohibited from getting back involved in things like that.
The only reason I bring up this point is I hear what you're saying about, you know, the people have spoken, they clearly want term limits. I believe Councilman Gumbel saying that there was a lot of confusion out there as far as, you know, exactly referred term limits, but the finer details might not have been clear to people are kind of, they didn't matter as much with the time in or the time out. So I think we need to look at the data in front of us and come up with best ordinance we possibly can to serve the purpose. And from what I heard of the conversation before, the purpose was to allow fresh blood to, which, I mean, if you look at the data, we really didn't have that problem. There was a lot of fresh blood coming on the council. But, you know, to allow an incumbent not to have that advantage, you know, to get them not running again for a third term, so they didn't have the advantage. So how long being out of office do they lose that advantage? In my mind, 8 years is too long. And that's why I bring it up. So I was curious where the 8 years came from. And if I remember, I thought it was Council McGurin coming up with, here's the ordinance proposing the 8 and the 8. Thank you.
There is a possibility that we might, and I don't know this, you take it and not take it.
The resounding word is yes, we want term limits. What I am bringing, you know, forward to in this conversation is the 8-year thing does not strike with everybody. Granted, I wasn't here for the feedback sessions that you're discussing. Not confusion, if we saw that with another initiative in the IMA initiatives with the tolls. So that's the point of clarification. You can't vote for which parts you want and not advisory. You're voting for term limits. Period. Councilor Ball.
Hey, thank you. This is not the first time term limits have been discussed in the state of Washington back in 1992, 94. There was actually a law proposed, and I think it was passed and overturned in the courts, for congressional term limits. Congressman from Spokane, who was the Speaker of the House, actually brought up the lawsuit, and actually was one of the reasons he lost his re-election. But what was also at that time in that was that it was a 2-year waiting period before you run for election again. And people seeing term limits, and I assure you, at that time it was heavily discussed, since it was a national movement, that is what was in many people's minds. Not disputing that term limits passed. The issue was the power of incumbency in getting reelected. When somebody's out of office, they no longer have the power of incumbency to get reelected. So that was the purpose of why I made the motion, that people who have supported term limits in the past supported it for the 2 years, because that was the national debate back in 92, 93, 94. That's what I wanted to make.
Thank you, Councilor
Hearing. No, thanks. It's very dangerous to tell voters they sit up here and tell them that they didn't know what they were going for. It couldn't have been clearer. And I put together the ballot initiative. It was, if you don't like part of it, you vote no. That's what you do. If you don't like something, you vote no on it. And over 76% of the people in town voted yes for the way that it's currently written today. And this is the first reading. Let's try again. Councilmember Balk actually brought this up, I believe, back in July. That was voted down. We would put it on the ballot. It's a lot of nerve to tell voters that they don't know what they voted on. We heard very clearly, it's the biggest public hearing you can have. Over 3-1 voted for what was written there. Maybe some people didn't like it. A lot of people voted no, but it was less than 25% of the folks in town. So. Again, I'll be voting no on the hostile amendment. Again, it's the first reading, and we can talk about it more next week since we have to have a second reading as well, or maybe it'll be in 2 weeks, but we've already had this debate, and that's why we put it out to the people, and it was very clear what they said. So, again, I'll be voting no. Thanks.
Councilor Ball.
On a comment that people don't like the part that people vote against it, I've seen almost every council member make motions to amend ordinances and see them defeated and then go on and vote for the ordinance, even though their motion to amend it was defeated. So even our own individual experiences know that there are laws that we would like to see passed and that we have seen flaws on, that we try to correct, and when they're correct, we still vote on it.
City attorney.
passage of the ordinance. Since what's before you tonight is not a passage, but simply the first reading of it, my position would be, unless you've adopted a local rule to the contrary, that you would have typewritten authority in this context.
Okay, thank you for the clarification. Appreciate that. Okay, the motion on the floor is to amend the motion to amend the ordinance, shortening the term from 8 to 2.
Waiting period.
Separation.
Waiting period.
Okay, seeing no other lights, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
I didn't see a mouth move, so I don't know which. Was it 3 to 3?
Or 2 to 6, raise hands.
Can we see a vote in favor of the motion? And those opposed? I'll break the tie. Opposed, the motion fails. Okay, we do have the original motion on the floor. That is to accept as first reading, adopt the term limits as voted on by the residents of Monroe. Councilman Ball?
Yes, even though I opposed, the one portion is I'll be voting in favor of it.
As well.
Thank you. Okay, any other questions or comments? All right, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, new business number 3, ordinance extending downtown business district fee waiver for first reading. Paul, thank you.
Yes, Mayor, I'm here to answer any questions or give a little bit of background.
Okay.
Your pleasure.
Councilmember Tedek.
Thank you. When I looked at the amount that we had given over the last 3 years, I think that we extended it in 2010, even though some, I think, council members had a little bit of issue because it was less than 2009, but it looks like it's even gone up in 2011 as far as what we're waiving. Are we advertising it more? Are we doing something a little different? Just more people are taking advantage of this?
I'm not sure that it's not being actively advertised.
Okay.
There was a slump in 2010, and it's come back in this current year, 2011. It's what, 2 or 3 times as much as it was last year.
Yeah.
There's been a fairly steady flow of activity with smaller projects, signs, tenant improvements, some new businesses coming in. I think it would have to be a combination of a little improvement in the market,
okay,
and then interest is there, and it's starting to fill that void that has been dragging on for so long, but you know, I'm speculating. But we're not really actively promoting it.
Okay.
We're letting it be known, but...
Mr. Sachs, is there any advantage to promoting this a little, or...
I don't think the government is in the business of advertising waiver permit fees, but I think it's a useful tool to encourage activity downtown and encourage the property owners to improve their buildings.
Thanks.
Thank you, Councilmember Sam.
Thank you. Does anybody know, maybe you know as a presenter, if anybody has said specifically that it really was a big help to them by not having to pay some of the other fees, or it's just kind of a throw-in? I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, are we helping downtown ahead?
I think we are. In the 2 months I've been here, I've gotten reactions from applicants that, you know, oh, that's a great idea, or they really appreciate this waiver. I don't know that it's so much the dollars, it's not a huge amount of dollars, but the support of that is, I think, sent a signal from the city that we're here to promote downtown. I think this is a part of it.
Well, I'm not wanting to change it. I just wanted to get some,
yes,
you know, there was some anecdotal type of, you know, that.
I can't say that there were any that would not have done their work had they not had the waiver, but certainly helped me to the city.
Is there anything further that you would recommend that we should do or could do?
Well, actually, we did add
Attorney Mullen for the question.
The short answer is yes, counsel. You have really broad discretion over your fee schedule. I do have some concerns that I'll share with the city administrator Trassel and or the council in executive session. But as a general matter, you have the ability to do a 2-year waiver.
Thank you.
Any other questions for your Paul or for Jeff, who is out? Both of them are out commingling with the businesses as they look to come in the room. Okay, no. So entertain a motion to approve extending the ordinance for downtown benefit district fee waiver as first reading.
So moved.
Moved by Councilmember Deering and seconded by Councilmember Dunbar.
Sure.
All right. Any further questions?
Could.
Go ahead.
The time of amending to 2 years, would that, could that be done in the second reading? Thank you.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
For you tonight is really moving from AWC, our current medical coverage, to the ClearPoint high deductible plan, the HSA. The first one, FA number one, has the cost of the anticipated cost for the 2012 premium from AWC as compared to the ClearPoint high deductible plan. You'll notice there is a slight difference in plan for those 22 non-rep employees.
So the cost is actually, for this particular group, is slightly higher overall, but it does meet the goal of council, which is to bring
parity
amongst the different groups specific to benefit plans. There was a potential expectation that this cost might have been higher first began to move forward with this.
Originally it was $39,000.
Correct, yeah. But being that there is some other movement or opportunity,
right,
this is where we've landed. Again, while we don't want to necessarily pay more for anything, in this particular case, it does bring these groups into parity with the others, so who are on this.
I would like to, for 5 minutes, if we would be okay with the attorney, go into executive session to discuss this particular proposal based on other negotiations that are going on. I would rather not have those in open session unless you feel like we need to.
Yeah, this is just for your presentation, for presentation tonight, and we do have an executive session for another subject.
Could this be included in that subject matter?
The permissible subject matter for an executive session, I believe on the lines we're referring to, council member, is to discuss the collective bargaining issue and the city's position to be taken in the collective bargaining negotiations. And to the extent that what you're seeking to discuss bears directly on that subject matter, it is appropriate for executive session, and you don't need an attorney present for that.
I just...
minutes. Okay, so 25 minutes to start. And I'm not sure which RCW for 22, but.
Can I just make a motion to extend past 10 o'clock?
Okay, motion's been made to extend the meeting past 10 o'clock, and seconded by Councilmember Steinman, and seconded by Councilmember Gearing. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Opposed? Appreciate that. So we will then go into executive session for 22 RCW.
42-31-40 RCW for the purpose of discussing the position to be taken by the city in collective bargaining negotiations with the council. Executive session means last question 25 minutes and we can take action and open session.
Okay. Yes.
I just want to make sure that there would not be any breach on the number of the machines in 751.
Is that the same union that is represented here at City Hall?
Yeah.
Okay. Then there isn't any, and just so the new council members are aware of, some of it's commonsensical that anything that is discussed in executive session, any information that you learn in confidence by virtue of your official position here, you have to keep that confidential and not discuss it with others outside this room. And that obligation continues even after you leave office.
All right. Okay, we're back. At this time, we'll kind of like a little round robin, give an opportunity for the council members to provide a report, or whether that's something that they've done in the community, or some of the members of the council are part of different boards and committees throughout the region and area. So we'll go around this time, Councilmember Bob, anything? Councilmember Hanford, anything to say as we close tonight?
Yes, I just wanted to mention that obviously in a few weeks I'll be done, but January the Community Transit Board will be again electing representatives, so in January someone from the new council will be assigned to that. But it was a privilege to serve on their board as an alternate, and I think it was beneficial for me, and I appreciate the privilege of being able to serve on that. They are going through some major service cuts, so they're something to keep on the radar screen as far as the public is concerned as they go forward in February. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you serving on that board. And again, they met every
once a month, first Thursday of the month at 3 o'clock.
Just for you guys, new council members to consider here in the next 30 days or so as we look to fill that position next year. Councilmember Gamble, anything? Yeah, thank you. Congratulations. Councilmember Kettle?
No.
Councilmember Gearing?
Nothing, thank you.
Well, I don't either. Chief, anything further to report?
I don't believe so.
Mr. Sachs? Chair? City Administrator Pratt?
Thank you, Mayor. Draft agenda for December 13th, 2011. Under new business, we have an ordinance adopting the amended Washington State criminal statutes. It's a first reading. And the final action, we're actually going to put as the number one item to deal with the budget amendment for 2011. I think it's appropriate to clean that up prior to adopting the 2012 budget second and final reading. Under study session, we have the introduction of the 2012 fee schedule and department reports. Any additions or deletions? On the long range agenda, we do have the cannabis ordinance, farm ordinance. Do we want to put that in something like January 17th?
I think it should be at the regular city council meeting.